Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces, and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. Welcome back to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner and founder of the Good Health Clinic. And if you've been listening over the last few episodes, you'll know that this month, we've been taking a deep whole body look at energy, what it actually is, why it becomes depleted, and why so many people feel exhausted despite doing all the right things. In the last episode, we talked through the real life patterns of low energy that I see in clinic every week, from wired but tired and flat fatigue to post-viral fatigue and burnout style exhaustion. And if you recognized yourself in any of those patterns, you're not alone. Today's episode is about what comes next, not a checklist and not a quick fix, but how to start rebuilding energy in a way that actually works for your body, rather than pushing it further into depletion. Because one of the most common mistakes I see is people responding to low energy by trying harder, doing more, adding more routines, more supplements, more effort, often with the best intentions, and then wondering why they feel worse rather than better. In this episode, we're going to talk about why that happens, why rest alone doesn't always restore energy, and why timing, foundations, and pacing matter so much when you're tired. My aim here is to leave you feeling empowered and clear, not overwhelmed, to help you understand what safe, sustainable energy rebuilding actually looks like and how to approach it in a way that supports your nervous system rather than exhausting it further. So when people realize that their energy isn't what it used to be, their instinct is almost always the same. Try harder. They add more supplements. They introduce more routines. They commit to doing all the right things more consistently, more perfectly. And on the surface, that makes sense. We're taught that effort leads to results and that health is something we earn through discipline. But when capacity is already low, this approach often backfires. What I see again and again is people layering more and more onto an already stretched system. Morning routines become longer. Evening routines become more structured. There's a growing list of things they should and shouldn't be doing to fix their energy. And with every addition, the pressure increases. The problem is that effort itself is a form of demand. Planning, implementing, tracking, and maintaining routines all require energy. So when the system is already under strain, adding more, even good things, can quietly push it further into depletion. This is often why people feel worse after trying to get on top of their health. They're doing everything right, yet their energy continues to drop. And instead of questioning the strategy, they question themselves. Energy recovery is not about willpower. It's not about pushing through resistance or being more disciplined. In fact, pushing is often the very thing that keeps you in low energy in the first place. When the body is tired, it's not usually asking for more effort. It's asking for the right kind of support to be delivered at the right time. If your system is already stretched, adding more, even the good things, can push it further and further into energy depletion. I want to say this clearly but reassuringly, you don't need to push to recover. You don't need to prove anything to your body. Recovery begins when effort is replaced with understanding and when the focus shifts from doing more to doing what's appropriate for your current capacity. And that shift away from urgency, away from perfectionism, is often the first most powerful step in rebuilding energy safely. So let's look at why rest alone rarely fixes energy. When people are exhausted, one of the most common pieces of advice they receive is to rest. And rest is important, it's essential. But for many people with ongoing low energy, rest on its own doesn't bring the relief they're expecting. This can be confusing and disheartening. So people will tell me, I'm resting more, but I still don't feel restored, or I'm doing less, but my energy hasn't come back. And when that happens, they often assume that they're resting incorrectly, or worse, that something is seriously wrong with them. What's important to understand is that rest only works when the body is able to use it. And that depends on what else is happening in the system. So if stress signaling remains high, the body may still be in a state of vigilance, even when you're physically resting. You might be lying down, but your nervous system hasn't switched into a state of repair. In that context, rest becomes passive rather than restorative.
Blood sugar instability can also undermine rest. If glucose levels are fluctuating, the body may release stress hormones to compensate, particularly overnight, and that can disrupt your sleep quality and prevent the deep cellular repair that should happen during rest. Inflammation plays a role too. When there's that ongoing immune activity, energy is diverted away from defense. Rest doesn't automatically reduce that load, and the body may still prioritize protection over repair. And this is why some people rest more and yet continue to feel tired. It's also helpful to distinguish between passive rest and active recovery. Passive rest is stopping, lying down, or disengaging. Active recovery involves creating the conditions that allow the body to shift into repair. So things like regulating your stress signals, stabilizing your blood sugar, supporting sleep quality, and reducing inflammatory load. Active recovery doesn't mean doing more. It means being intentional about how the body recovers. It's often gentler and a more targeted approach than people expect. The key reframe here is rest works best when the body feels safe enough to use it. So when safety is restored at a physiological level, rest becomes deeply restorative rather than simply time spent not doing anything. So if rest hasn't helped in the way you hoped, it doesn't mean that rest is wrong. It means your body may need additional support to make that rest effective. So let's look at the three pillars of safe energy rebuilding. When people start to rebuild their energy in a way that actually works, it's rarely because they found the perfect supplement or the ideal routine. It's because they've changed how they approach recovery. Safe, sustainable energy building rests on three core principles. So think of them as pillars rather than steps, because they support everything else that follows. They're not rigid rules. They're guiding frameworks that help the body to respond rather than resist. So the first pillar is timing. What you do matters, but when you do it often matters just as much. The body runs on rhythm. Hormones, energy production, digestion, and repair all follow daily cycles, guided by circadian rhythm and cortisol timing. When those rhythms are disrupted through chronic stress or poor sleep, irregular eating, late night stimulation, that energy becomes harder to access, even if the right habits are in place. This is why mistimed healthy habits can feel draining. So exercising later in the evening might be beneficial for one person, but it could be exhausting for another. Intermittent fasting may work well for some, but leave others feeling wired or foggy or depleted. Early mornings, late nights, long gaps between meals can all place additional demand on the system that's already struggling to regulate itself. Supporting energy often starts with working with the body's natural rhythms rather than overriding them. When recovery windows are respected, particularly around sleep, light exposure, and nourishment, the body becomes more efficient at producing and using energy. Timing often shows up in some very practical ways. So for example, someone might be exercising regularly, eating well, but consistently training late in the evening. On paper, it looks healthy, but biologically, it can push cortisol later into the night and interfere with sleep quality, leaving you feeling more tired overall. Or someone might be skipping breakfast because they've heard that it's beneficial for metabolic health, but they're feeling shaky or foggy or irritable by mid-morning. In that case, the timing of nourishment isn't matching their current capacity. When energy is low, even those restorative habits need to be aligned with the body's rhythms. Adjusting when something happens rather than removing it entirely can make a noticeable difference. So the second pillar is foundations. Energy doesn't rebuild on top of instability. It rebuilds when the basics are steady. So sleep quality, blood sugar balance, stress regulation, they form the groundwork for everything else. And this doesn't mean perfection, it means consistency. And I talk to my patients about this an awful lot. I don't want you doing every single thing and stressing yourself out. I want you doing a few things really consistently, really well. When sleep is irregular or unrefreshing, when blood sugar swings are driving those stress hormones, or when the nervous system remains on high alert, the body struggles to invest energy into repair. Many people become frustrated because they're trying to optimize before they've stabilized. They skip over the foundations in search of faster results, only to find that nothing seems to stick. When foundations are supported, even gently, energy often begins to feel more predictable. Crashes become less severe, recovery improves, the system starts to trust that it doesn't need to stay in survival mode. Foundations are often where the biggest shifts happen, even though they can feel deceptively simple. Someone might be focusing on supplements or advanced strategies while sleep remains fragmented or non-restorative. Until that sleep quality improves, energy recovery is limited, no matter what else you add in. Or someone could be eating nutritious meals, but with long gaps between them, leading to blood sugar dips that drive that stress hormone and energy crashes. Stabilizing that pattern can reduce fatigue far more effectively than adding another intervention. When foundations are supported first, everything else becomes easier to tolerate and more effective. And then the third pillar is feedback. And this is perhaps the most overlooked aspect of energy recovery. The body is constantly communicating, but many of us have learned to override those signals rather than to listen to them. Symptoms are not obstacles to be pushed through, they're information. Fatigue, restlessness, poor sleep, or post-exertional crashes are feedback about capacity. Safe energy rebuilding involves paying attention to how the body responds and adjusting accordingly. That might mean pulling back before adding more. It might mean changing timings rather than intensity. It might mean recognizing when something that works for others doesn't work for you and allowing that to be okay. This is where rigid rules often fail. When people follow protocols without listening to feedback, they can unintentionally push the system further into depletion. In contrast, when feedback guides decisions, recovery becomes far more sustainable. Feedback often shows up in how the body responds after activity or change. So for instance, you might feel okay during a workout, but notice significant fatigue or brain fog later that day or the following day. That delayed response is important information. It's telling you something about capacity and recovery. Or you might introduce a new routine that looks sensible, but find that sleep actually worsens or your energy becomes less predictable. Rather than pushing through, feedback invites adjustment. Learning to respond to these systems rather than override them is what allows energy to rebuild without repeated crashes. Taken together, these three pillars change the entire approach to energy. Recovery stops being about force and starts being about guidance. And that's the core message that I want to land here. Energy rebuilds when the body is guided, not forced. When timing is respected, foundations are stabilized, and feedback is listened to, the system often begins to restore itself in a way that feels steady rather than fragile. One of the biggest reasons people struggle to rebuild their energy, even when they're motivated or informed or doing many of the right things, is that timing. Doing the right thing at the wrong time can quietly delay recovery. And this is where so much of the frustration comes from. People are trying those strategies that really should help, but instead of feeling better, they're feeling worse, more tired, or more fragile. From the outside, it can look like failing, but in reality, what's failing is the sequence. Energy recovery isn't linear. The body doesn't respond well to being pushed in all directions at once. When multiple systems are under strain, so stress, sleep, immune function, metabolism, trying to address everything simultaneously often overwhelms the system rather than supporting it. And this is why we work with people over a period of time. Because we need to work on stress, we need to work on sleep, we need to work on immune function, we need to work on metabolism, but we can't work on them all at once. And this is why so many people feel like you've tried everything, you've exercised, rested, eaten well, supplemented, reduced stress, but nothing is sticking. Not because those things are wrong, but because they weren't introduced in a way that matched the body's readiness. Without sequencing, recovery becomes stop-start. People make progress and then crash. They feel slightly better and then slide backwards. Each setback chips away at confidence. And eventually, many of you will just stop trusting your body altogether. Sequencing changes that. When support is introduced in the right order, the body has time to adapt. Capacity builds gradually rather than being tested all at once. Early stability creates space for deeper repair. And instead of repeated crashes, people begin to notice fewer dips, better recovery, and more predictable energy. And this is why energy doesn't rebuild all at once. It rebuilds in layers. The first layer is often safety and regulation, helping the nervous system settle enough for recovery to begin. The next layer might be stabilizing sleep or blood sugar. Only later does the body have the capacity to tolerate more challenge, whether that's increased movement, cognitive load, or stress. When that order is respected, progress feels steadier. When it isn't, even well-intentioned changes can feel destabilizing. This layered approach is at the heart of how we work with energy inside the Good Health Studio. Rather than asking you to do everything at once, the focus is on one clear priority at a time, allowing the body to respond, settle, and strengthen before moving on. That structure is particularly important when energy is low. Decision fatigue is real, overwhelm is real, and having to constantly second guess what to do next can drain energy even further. Sequencing removes that pressure. It replaces guesswork with guidance and urgency with clarity. And if you're listening to this and recognizing how often you've tried to rebuild energy by stacking more and more on top of an already tired system, but you're not ready to work with us in clinic yet, this is exactly what the Good Health Studio exists for. The studio is designed to support energy recovery in a way that's paced, structured, and realistic, especially for those people who are busy, tired, and already doing their best. If that approach resonates with you, Joining the studio waitlist is the best way to stay connected. It gives you early access and ensures that you're supported as soon as the doors open shortly, without having to figure everything out on your own. Because when sequencing is right, recovery stops feeling like trial and error and starts feeling possible again. One of the most important parts of rebuilding energy is having realistic expectations about what recovery actually looks like. We're often conditioned to expect fast results, a clear turning point where everything suddenly feels better. But sustainable energy recovery doesn't usually work that way. In reality, energy recovery is gradual. It happens in small, often subtle shifts rather than dramatic leaps. And it's rarely linear. There are good days and harder days, even when things are moving in the right direction. It's also deeply personal. Two people following the same approach can progress at different rates depending on their history, stress load, health background, and current capacity. Comparison can be incredibly helpful here because it ignores the context that shaped where someone is starting from. Early signs of improvement are often quieter than people expect. Instead of suddenly feeling full of energy, people may notice fewer crashes. Energy becomes a little bit more predictable. Recovery from busy days or stressful moments happens a little bit faster. Sleep may start to feel a little bit more restorative. The nervous system may feel slightly calmer. The body becomes more tolerant, not necessarily energetic yet, but more stable. These changes matter. These are signs that the system is beginning to trust that it doesn't need to stay in survival mode. And this is why consistency matters more than intensity. Pushing hard on good days often leads to setbacks on the days that follow. In contrast, steady, repeatable support allows the body to rebuild capacity over time. It can feel counterintuitive, especially for people who are used to seeing results through effort. But energy responds best to patience rather than pressure. And I want to be really clear here, slow improvement is still progress. Just because recovery doesn't look dramatic doesn't mean it isn't happening. And when people understand this, something shifts. They stop scanning constantly for proof that things are working and instead start noticing the quieter signals of stability and resilience returning. Because it's much easier to look for the bad than it is the good. Sustainable recovery isn't about getting back to who you were overnight. It's about building a level of energy that's reliable, supportive, and kind to your system. And that takes time. By this point of these four podcast episodes, you may be recognizing something important. Rebuilding energy isn't about finding one missing piece. It's about having a framework that helps you understand what matters now and what can wait. One of the most exhausting parts of low energy is that constant guessing, wondering what you should be doing, second guessing whether you're resting too much or not enough, trying something new only to feel worse and not know why. This is exactly the gap that the studio is designed to fill. The Good Health Studio isn't a protocol dump. It isn't about doing everything at once. It's a structured step-by-step space where complexity is broken down into something more manageable, especially for people who are already tired, and it allows you to work at your own pace. Each step has a clear focus. Lessons are short and digestible, designed to fit into real life rather than take it over. The emphasis is always on pacing, sequencing, and understanding how your own body responds, not on rigid rules or perfection. Instead of asking you to overhaul everything, the studio guides you through one layer at a time. That might mean starting with regulation and safety before thinking about performance. It might mean stabilizing foundations before adding a challenge. This approach is intentional. When energy is low, cognitive load matters, decision fatigue matters, and having clear structure removes a huge amount of pressure from the process. If, as you've been listening, you felt a sense of recognition or relief, this is exactly who the studio is for. People who want to rebuild energy intelligently without burning themselves out further. At the moment, the studio isn't open, but the waitlist is. Joining the waitlist means that you'll be the first to know when the doors open, and you'll have the opportunity to step into that structured support as soon as it becomes available, without having to figure everything out alone. There's no obligation, it's simply a way of staying connected with us. And if this approach resonates with you, you can jump on the waitlist in the show notes below. As we close this episode and this month on energy, I want to bring you back to something really simple. Your body is not broken, it's been adapting. And low energy is not failure of motivation or strength, it's communication. If there's one thing that I hope you take away from these episodes, it's that energy returns when the body feels supported, understood, and safe, not when it's pushed harder. You don't need to rush, you don't need to do everything at once, and you don't need to have the whole plan mapped out today. Sometimes the most powerful step is simply choosing a different approach. One rooted in clarity rather than urgency, and guidance rather than guesswork. If you'd like to explore that next step, when the time feels right, the clinic and the studio are here for you. And whether or not you join, I hope that you've enjoyed these episodes and they've helped you to understand your energy a little bit more clearly. and treat yourself with a little bit more compassion. If you've liked this episode, please don't forget to subscribe or to review on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit, and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app, or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.